My guest at this time is Ohio Republican Congressman Steve Chabot. He represents the Buckeye State's 1st Congressional District, and he joins me now to offer his thoughts on the one and only vice presidential debate, which took place on Thursday evening in Louisville, Kentucky, which, of course, is not that far from the congressman's home state of Ohio. And, sir, thank you very much for being with us.
Great to be with you, Greg, and with your listeners.
And great to have you with us back again. This debate was a little bit more wide-ranging, certainly, than the first presidential debate, since that one was just on the economy, essentially, a couple other domestic issues, and this one was pretty much open to anything. A lot of the discussion centered on foreign policy and specifically the situation in Libya and the story we've gotten from this administration on what exactly happened on September 11th. What did you make of Joe Biden's defense of the administration's handling of it and Paul Ryan's characterization of what we've seen over the past month?
Well, I found Biden to be, shall we say, interesting. He was awfully, I mean, just his demeanor. I thought he was very rude, condescending, disrespectful, kind of just smirking. It actually reminded me a lot of Al Gore's sighing some years ago. Ryan, on the other hand, I thought was, knowledgeable, respectful to Biden and respectful to the moderator and to the audience who was watching at home. And I thought, as you mentioned, Greg, the Libya situation, I thought was particularly interesting. You know, they carried on in what I consider really to be a cover-up on Libya, where the administration told us and told us again and again that this was just some spontaneous event that took place as a result of protesters out in front of the embassy and a video that was on the internet that everybody was enraged about, and that's why this happened. And they stuck to that story for quite some time. Well, it turns out Darrell Issa has been holding hearings this week, and it turns out that there were no protesters at all in this incident. This was clearly a terrorist attack with people with rocket-propelled grenades scaling the walls and looking, basically wanting to spill American blood. It looks like a huge cover-up. I don't think there's any other word that you can use about it. And I thought Biden was very ineffective and just not believable in his defense of the administration.
Let's talk a little bit more about what you mentioned at the beginning of your previous response, and that was what's getting a lot of attention today. Joe Biden's reactions to things that Paul Ryan was saying, with the laughing and the smiling and the gestures, and a lot of people said frequent interruptions. Obviously, there's substantive issues with how they related to each of these issues, and we just discussed what happened with Libya. But what about these non-substantive issues relating to Joe Biden? What did that tell you?
Well, it was juvenile, really. In fact, less than that, because I would expect most young people, teenagers, to act with more, be more responsible and be more respectful than he acted last night. I mean, it was very, I think, off-putting for an awful lot of people. And it's kind of scary to think that this guy is a heartbeat away from the presidency itself. And I think, I think Ryan was not only, but he clearly knew what he was talking about. And he was just trying to make his case and do it in a matter-of-fact manner, and I thought he did that quite effectively. But it really is disturbing to me, having been in Washington quite a few years myself and knowing, how significant it and what can happen. I mean, we do have presidents that sometimes don't make it through their term. To think that Biden is there there's a lack of maturity. You wouldn't have known that he should have been the senior statesman and ought to know how to act on national television, but he clearly didn't show that last night.
We're talking with Ohio Congressman Steve Chabot. And Congressman, most of the undecided focus groups that were on the cable news channels last night seemed to suggest that they hadn't necessarily made up their mind on who to vote for based on the vice presidential debate. So do you think much changed in the momentum or the dynamics of the campaign as a result of last night?
Probably not, really. I think if people don't vote based upon the vice presidential candidates or how they perform generally, and I don't think they will this time either. But I do think it, what was helpful last night, I think, is that Paul Ryan did show that there is a clear choice between two visions for our nation's future. One vision is higher taxes and more government involvement in our lives, and basically more of the same. If you're satisfied with where we are right now and what, you know, where we've been over the past 4 years, maybe you will be satisfied reelecting this administration. But I don't think that's where we need to go. And, you know, Biden didn't say one time what a second term for an Obama administration would be like, you know, what policies they would do, you know, what they would do to get the economy moving again, get Americans back to work again. You know, it was just a bunch of kind of flailing about and attacks. And, you know, it was like a one long 30-second attack ad, really. And I think it was unfortunate because it really did bring down the level of discourse. And this election is critical. It really is. I do believe that this is probably the most important election of our lifetime. And I know we've heard that before, but I think this time it's really true. And I certainly think that the Romney Ryan team is much better prepared to lead us in the direction we need to go than to leave it in the hands of President Obama and especially Joe Biden for another term.
Congressman, towards the end of the debate, we got one question, or at least one topic on social issues. It was about abortion, and you've clearly been a leader in the pro-life side of that debate in your years in Congress. Both were asked to talk about, as Catholics, how they personally approach this decision, and then obviously a part of the back and forth centered on the HHS mandate over contraception, Paul Ryan mentioning the Catholic bishops suing the Obama administration, and so forth. What did you make of what the two candidates had to say on that issue?
Well, I think they both expressed their points of view reasonably well, and I do think that Paul Ryan was exactly right. You know, we have an administration here which is literally taking away one of our most valuable freedoms, and that's the freedom to practice your religion as you see fit. And, you know, basically this administration is forcing Catholic hospitals and institutions to provide or pay for abortion-inducing contraceptives and sterilizations, and these are things that are against the tenets of the Catholic faith. And it goes beyond the Catholic faith because you have an awful lot of small business folks out there who don't think it's right to carry out those types of behaviors, and yet you're forcing them to pay for those kinds of things. So, I mean, this is really unprecedented how far this administration has gone. And I think that's one of the big differences that a lot of people who may be undecided right now may come down on which way to vote on that one issue.
We're talking with Ohio Congressman Steve Chabot, and Congressman, since the first presidential debate, we've certainly seen a little bit of momentum, in some cases more than a little momentum, for Mitt Romney in national polls and in several state polls. At this point, the key battleground state that the president still seems to be doing best is your home state of Ohio. Why do you think that is, and what advice do you have for the GOP ticket?
Well, it's close in Ohio, very close. I think, you know, either Obama is up or down by a point or two, and obviously Romney is either up or down by the opposite. And I think the reason that you see that is that Ohio has about a full percentage point lower unemployment than the national average. Now, I know Obama would like to take credit for that, but the fact is we've got a Republican governor and a Republican House and a Republican Senate in Ohio that have been very pro-business policies for the last couple of years when they took over 2 years ago. You know, they basically refused to raise taxes. They cut spending. They made it a more business-friendly environment. We've got businesses moving in, small business folks doing better than the national average, and we've seen the unemployment almost a full percentage point lower than the national average. So you basically have Republican policies that are being enacted under a Republican governor here in Ohio and a Democratic president who's trying to take advantage of it and maybe has had some success thus far. But I think it's going to tilt for Romney come election, and I think Ohio's 18 electoral votes will go to Romney and probably make the difference in this election.
Last question, Congressman. You served many years in the House, so were defeated in 2008, came right back in 2010, and defeated the man who beat you 2 years earlier. What's your race looking like this year?
I think I'm in pretty good shape. I have a Democratic and a Libertarian and a Green Party opponent, and we're working hard, but I feel cautiously optimistic, but I've learned never to count your chickens and always work hard. And the bottom line is I try to be very open with my constituents, let them know where I stand. And I've always been a big proponent of keeping the spending in Washington down and voting against wasteful spending. And there's a group called Citizens Against Government Waste that just announced, they keep track of all this, the votes, and they just announced within the last couple of weeks who the top members of Congress were in voting against wasteful spending. And I was happy to say that I was tied for the top with two other members of Congress, Tom Graves, a Republican from Georgia, and Ron Paul, a Republican from Texas. The three of us had 98% scores, and I'll be shooting for 100% score next time, but I was happy to have that, and I think my constituents appreciate that too.
Well, we'll be watching your race, a key Senate race as well in Ohio, and of course, how the Buckeye State factors into the presidential race. Congressman, it's always good to have you with us. Thank you for your time today.
Thank you very much, Greg, and have a great weekend.
You too, sir. Ohio Republican Congressman Steve Chabot represents his state's first congressional district. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WND.com.